you have a big mortgage. Pastor, that is not hard to imagine at all. I got that one down, Pat. I got a big mortgage. And then here's what I want you to imagine. I want you to imagine that we're friends. And, you know, I'm not your pastor. I'm just in your church, I'm part of the church family. And just imagine that I'm a very wealthy person. And everybody knows. I don't have millions. I got billions. I got more than billions. I'm loaded. I got it. I got a lot of money. Okay? And one day, you know, I come up to you. You know, we're having a church picnic. And then I just kind of take you to the side because, you know, I don't want to make a big deal about this. But you know, I said, Paul, the Lord's laid something on my heart. I want to share it with you, and I don't want to embarrass you or anything. But you know, the Lord's leading me to pay off your mortgage for you. I just feel led to do this. I'm going to pay off that mortgage, and so, you know, I know it's none of my business, but in order for me to do that, I need for you to tell me how much you owe on your house. And so I can see Paul, being the computer guy that he is, he probably goes, hey, one second here, for a moment. And he's just like, he's doing this, you know, and he comes up with a number, and I'm reaching in my pocket, and I say, well, I go over to my truck and my checkbook and write out a check, and I make it out to Paul so he can pay off the mortgage. And then I give that to you. How are you going to respond? Gratefully, right? You're going to be thankful, right? When are you going to start thanking me? Right away? Really? Seriously? You're going to say, like, as soon as I hand you the check? Probably before I hand you the check, right? You're not going to wait. You mean you're not going to wait to make sure the check clears the bank? No, you're not going to do that. Why? Because you know me, right? I've been a true friend to you, right? I've been a man of my word, right? If I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And you know that I have the means to pay off your mortgage, right? Boy, I wish this was a true story. Man, I wish this was, we weren't imagining things this morning. But you know that I have the means, and if I tell you something, you know you can trust me. So that check that I give you is good as what? It's good as gold, right? It's the real deal. In fact, that check hasn't done you any good until when? Until it clears the bank, right? Until you put it in your checking account, and then you have the and then you write a check and pay off your mortgage. You're not free of the bond of that mortgage until you actually pay it off. But do you wait till you pay it off to thank me for my generous gift to you? No. In the same way, friends, we need to treat God the same way. In fact, we don't wait. I'm not going to wait till I get to heaven to thank him for heaven. I'm not going to wait till then to say, Lord, thank you that you died on a cross for my sins, so that I could be forgiven and I could enjoy heaven. See, I've got an imagination, but I also have the Word of God. And I know God. I know His character. I know He's a man of His Word, right? Now, I'm preaching good. Help me here. He is a man of His Word. And I know what awaits me. I know that He's preparing a mansion for me. That He's going away to build a house for me, an eternal house. And so I'm not going to wait till I get to heaven to tell God thank you for what he's done for me. And when I read his promises and I see that he said, hey, this is what I'm going to do for you, Paul. Here's my word to you. See, I was giving a word to you. I'll pay off your mortgage. But you know what? And the moment you said that, or I said that to you, you grateful. And in the same way, when we read God's word, how many know that there are thousands of promises in this? In fact, I remember many years ago, I got this little book, and you probably got it too, that it was like the God's little promises book. And in there was all these different, how many red? You should get one of those. You just began to see the thousands of promises that God has given to you in His Word. And I'm going to do a little quiz today. Just shout out, talk back to me. What are some of God's promises? Peace that passes all understanding. How many like the sound of that promise, right? All right. Anybody else? Give me a promise. He'll never leave you. Oh, we could preach that one. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Give me another one. What? He said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Say more abundantly. Yes, He's come that you might have eternal life, not just abundant life, but eternal life. How many know that promise is good, right? We're talking about the promises of God. So give me another one. He said, I'll provide for your needs according to my riches in glory. Now I've just demonstrated something for you already. Every promise that you said, the moment you said it, a scripture came to my mind. The moment I said it, the key, and I'm not even sure if I'm going to get to preach the whole sermon today. Listen to me. The key to a breakthrough prayer is to know the one who is providing for your need. The key for you in this whole situation, Paul, when I said I'd pay off your mortgage, is you knew who I was. You knew our relationship. You knew my character. Well, listen, we can know the character of God. What are you banking your prayers on? I'm banking my prayers on two things: the character of God and the promises of God. And what's the character of God? The character of God is that we know that God is the provider of all of our needs. What is the character of God? We know that He is peace. The Prince. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. See, God doesn't just give peace. God is peace. And so when you get with God, you get connected to God. You get close to God. That's when you know peace. That's when you experience peace. It's not just you're going to get this wonderful blessing. No, you get God. You get a relationship with God. You get His presence in your life. You get His Word in your life. Now, did anybody get a devotional in your texting this week? Okay. All right. It worked. You didn't get it? I sent them out. You got it. All right. An invitation to go to YouVersion and then to read a devotional. I sent it out, and if you didn't get it, then we'll work it out so you'll get it next time. But listen, watch this. My point of that is, did you read the devotional? That's the real question. You may have got it in your an invitation in your text messages, but did you read the devotion? See, I read the devotions, and guess what? In the devotion, I learned something. You know, and one of those devotions was talking about overcoming worry. And in that devotion, it said something like this. Can you do anything about it right now other than pray? And so then you ask yourself that question. You think about what you're worrying about. Can I do anything? Well, you can't do anything about it other than pray. Pray about it, then cast it down. Say, I am not going to sit here and waste my time, my life, worrying about something that I can't control. If there's nothing I can do about it now, I'm going to give it to God, I'm going to turn it over to the Lord, and then I'm going to cast it down. Amen? And so that was something that I applied right then from God's Word. And my point to you is this, that when you pray, if you know the promises of God, if you've got God's Word in your heart, then you can believe, and then you can begin to thank God for His promises before they happen. When do you thank God? Every day. Before it happens. before you actually see the fulfillment of the promise. When I wrote the check out, even before I wrote the check, Paul is saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, right? Listen to me. Now, everybody would love to have your mortgage paid for, right? But how many know that what the Lord has provided for us, when I began to tell you or ask you the promises of God, how many know that peace, that life, all those things that you were talking about is greater than having your mortgage paid off? Far greater. And so today, you and I have something to be thankful for. Today, we should, based on God's word and God's promises, I should thank Him in advance. This verse, let's read it again. This may be as far as we get. Okay? It says, anytime you ask for anything, what's the anything? If I got anything, is what? It's real simple. Cancer. How many ever hear the word cancer and you're just like, ah! It's almost like it's overwhelming. There are things in this life that are overwhelming. So how do you pray if you got cancer? You pray real hard. You do what does text say? Anytime you ask, or anytime you believe for anything. So when I pray, when I ask, I believe in prayer that I've received it, and you will receive it. So, how do you receive an answer to a prayer? How do you pray? Do you have to beg God? I mean, do you have to beg God to get your healing? What I'm saying is do I have to say, God, heal me of cancer? And then 10 minutes later, Lord, heal me of this cancer. And then the next day, Lord, heal me of this cancer. And then the next day, heal me. Is that how you pray? If you have a need, that you just keep asking God, keep asking God, keep asking God, keep asking God, just beg God, just beg God, beg God, until what? Wear Him down. And then He finally says, well, just so I can have peace of mind, get you off of my back, I'm going to give you what you need. Is that how you pray? Let me tell you, this is very important, because we may know what I'm teaching you this morning, but I'm not sure we actually practice it. Are you with me? See, I should ask God, here's really the truth. I should ask God one time, and I should believe, and then every time after that, I should rephrase my prayer by thanking God in advance before it actually happens. Are you with me? So I asked God once, Lord, my car broke down. I don't have money for a car. Lord, I need a car. Or God, I need a job. So then, later that day when I pray, Lord, I thank you. You are going to provide a car for me. Lord, thank you that you're providing a car for me. I even took it a step further. See, just like Paul. See, God said, I'm going to take care of all your needs according to what? My riches in glory. So you know what I do? I'm just going to claim the promise of God. How do you claim the promise of God? You thank Him. One thing you do is you thank Him in advance for what He is going to do. Listen to me. I pray. I'm not going to preach long. I've already decided I'm not going to preach the whole message. I'm just going to preach the introduction. How do you pray for something for 35 years? Because I prayed, Janice, for 35 years for my dad to be saved. Then I was sitting in that church the very day that my dad was baptized. He made a public confession, not only by going into a baptistry and confessing that I am a believer, but by video, he was asked questions, he was interviewed, and he gave his testimony of his salvation. And I was present that day when I saw the moment of 35 years of praying. But you know, and I will confess, there were times when I prayed more than once that God would save my dad, that my dad would be a believer. About as many ways as you could phrase it, I probably did it. I probably said it in as many ways as you could say it. Why? Because it was the passion of my heart. Let me ask you this. Are you passionate about anything? Is there anything you really believe in that you are willing to give anything for it to happen? Is there anything in your life that you are so convinced that you need or you want for someone else or for yourself that you are willing to pray every single day for as long as it takes for it to happen? Is it there? Well, I'll tell you what, the salvation of my daddy was that important. Come on now. The salvation of my daddy. But let me tell you, there were times where I said, you know what, I don't have to beg. I don't have to do this. I got my prayers more biblical. I began to thank God that he was working behind the scenes to bring about the salvation of my father. So I began to think about how the Holy Spirit would convict him. The Holy Spirit would work in his life so that he began to be aware of his need for God and need the Lord. And so even as a teenager, I would think of that. I would thought, you know, how is my dad going to become a believer? Well, I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit's going to have to get a hold of his heart. Holy Spirit's going to have to speak to him. Holy Spirit's going to have to reveal himself. So you know what I did one night? I prayed. I said, Lord, you know, my dad worked for the railroad. So he would take the train to Lincoln, Nebraska. And then he'd spend the night, and then he'd come back. So I said, you know, when dad's on these work trips, and he's spending the night at the hotel, I pray, Lord, that you'll keep him up at night and that he can't sleep because he feels his need of you. I prayed that. And guess what? My mom came to me one day. I'm just a teenager. She says, I need you to pray for your dad because he can't sleep at night when he's at work. So I kind of had to tell her in confidence, you know, I've already been praying on. Because why? I knew it was the Holy Spirit. I knew it wasn't me. It wasn't anything that I could say or I could do, or the preacher could do, or the church could do. It had to be the Holy Spirit that made him aware of his need for the Lord. And so, you know what? I told my mom, I said, why don't you agree with me that the Holy Spirit will just get a hold of his heart. And yes, we want him to sleep. You know, everybody wants to sleep. So I prayed for my daddy. He can't sleep now. But I wanted him to know his need of salvation. And so, yes, God will give you creative ways that you think of that's a part of the process of God meeting whatever need it is in your life. But every part of that process needs to be stimulated or motivated by the Word of God. Because, see, I had this realization that it's the Spirit that draws the heart of man to God. So I prayed that the Holy Spirit would do that. But I don't have to pray every day, Holy Spirit, get a hold of my dad's heart. Next day, Holy Spirit. No, I can change my prayer just like this. It says, well, it's right here in my hand. Anytime you ask for anything in prayer, believe that you have received it and you will receive it. So you know what? I just start believing. I've already got it before I got it. See? You mean I have to believe a thing is so when it isn't so, so it will be so. I like that. Hope you can remember that. Do I have to believe that something is so before it becomes, or I didn't even say it right. You mean I have to believe a thing is so when it isn't so, so it will become so. And so you know what I start doing? I begin to thank God that it comes. Lord, I thank you that today is going to become a believer because you're working in his life. Lord, I thank you today that even though my cancer, according to the doctor, hasn't gone away yet, I thank you that you are in the process of bringing about healing.
I thank you that it's coming, and I want to praise you in advance for it. And I want to praise you just like Paul would thank me. I need to thank God based on two things, his promise and his character. Promise and character. And next week, I'll preach the rest of this message, and I'll show you how King Jehoshaphat modeled this very prayer. Pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the great promises that we find in your word. And Lord, this morning you've taught us, Lord, just in one verse, how to pray and also how to wait. Because sometimes, Lord, there is a delay. Sometimes things don't come in the timing that we desire. And Lord, in this series, and I'm teaching you as I pray right here, folks. In this series, we've been learning something. We've been learning that when there's a waiting time, we have to ask ourselves, am I waiting on God or is God waiting on me? Am I waiting on God or is God waiting on me? See, God may be waiting on me to get some area of my life in line with his word. Because his blessings come in response to my obedience. Not only do I have faith, but I also need to be obedient to the Lord. I need to abide in him. Because if I abide in the Lord and his word abides in me, then I can ask whatever I wish and it will be given to me. So in this time of waiting, I need to say, God, am I waiting on you or are you waiting on me? Is there anything that you want to do in my life, need to do in my life? Is there anything in between you and me, Lord, that needs to be dealt with? And then as the Holy Spirit convicts me, I need to respond to it. But then also I need to begin to realize that I need to thank God in advance for the fulfillment of his promise before it actually happens. Thanking him in advance. Praising him in advance is a form of faith. That when I stand up and I lift up my voice and I lift up my hands and I praise the Lord and I thank him, hey, that's faith. Because I am demonstrating that I am believing in God, trusting in God for the answer to my prayer. So thank you, Lord. And I know that today there are people here present. They need a breakthrough. They need a miracle. Lord, some kind of need in their life. And Lord, you are the answer to that need. And today, perhaps today, Lord, as we pray together, maybe it's the first time we ask, or maybe it's together and in agreement, and thank you, Lord, in advance for whatever that need may be. And Lord, I know that the greatest need of the human heart is salvation. So I know today that perhaps there are those here who need you and don't know you. Their life's not right with you. They have been away from you. They haven't been trusting you for their salvation. And they would say, Lord, I need you in my life. I want to know you as my Savior. I want to know you as my Lord. And if that is your need today, I'm going to pray in a moment. I'm going to pray for anyone that needs the Lord for salvation. And if you would say, Pastor, I want you to include me in that prayer. What I'd like you to do right now, before I pray, is lift up your hand and just say, Lord, I need you in my life right now. I desire to serve you, to follow you. And you're holding your hand up saying, Pastor, will you pray for me? If that is you, just hold your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, I see that. And the more important than me seeing it, God sees it. Let's stand together. Lord, let's pray for everyone that lifted their hand today. Lord, will you see these hands that have been lifted, people that raised the hand. And I know that there are even individuals here today that didn't lift up a hand, but they lifted up their heart as I said those words. They want to serve you, Lord. They desire to receive you into their life. They desire to follow you. And Lord Jesus, I know that we are all sinners and that we've all made mistakes. We've all disobeyed your word. We've all even lived in rebellion. And Lord, That's why Jesus, your Son, God the Son, came to the earth and became a man, bled and died for our sins on Calvary's cross, and then was buried and rose again. And Lord, your word tells us that if we believe with the heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So I'm asking you, if you raised your hand right now, believe that Jesus is God, that he died, he became a man and died in your place for your sin, to pay your sin penalty, that he rose from the dead, and that right now, by the Holy Spirit, he can come into your life and take away your sin and forgive you and give you the hope of eternal life and so much more. If that's what you need, say, Lord, confess now Jesus is Lord. Lord, come into my life. I can't say it for you, friend, but you need to say it right now. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Be my, not just my Savior, but be my Lord. Be the one that's in charge of my life. Be my leader. Direct my life. I want to live my life for you in relationship with you. Thank you, Lord, that you can do anything. You can save me. And you can save others.
Amen.
And I thank you for what you've done, that you've washed my sins away, and by faith I believe it. And that I'm a new person in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Janice is going to